Blog Talk Radio.
There's a wideness in God's mercy I cannot find in my own, and it keeps this fire burning to melt this heart of stone. Keeps me aching with the yearning, keeps me glad to have been caught in the restless raging fury that they call the love of God. Now I've seen no band of angels, but I've heard the soldiers' songs. Love hangs over them like a banner. Love within them leads them on to the battle, on the journey, and it's never gonna stop. Ever widening their mercies and the fury of His love. Oh, the love of God. Now the Lord's door has opened, the door hell could never close. Here I'm tested, made worthy, tossed about, lifted up. And the reckless raging fury that they call the love of God.
Hello, everyone, whomever may tune in to listen. My last recording was not my last recording. My most recent recording, I thought might be my last recording here, at least for a considerable period of time. And instead, the Lord gave me a message. This is a message from the Lord God. It's the word of the Lord, and it's out of the word of the Lord. But it's in conjunction with today's events. Not just today, but the events going on right now that are in the news. And I didn't realize it when I programmed this show and started it spontaneously, but there's going to be a little preamble. I'm going to have a very brief discussion about what's happening right now. We have Russia invading Ukraine. We cannot trust the news sources. It's all propaganda, propagandized. Obviously, there's some kind of attack going on, and I'm not apologizing for anyone, but I do want to point out that the globalists are essentially Nazis. The United States won the war and then gave the country over to Nazis by importing the Nazi scientists under Operation Paperclip. And that's where we have people with whose philosophies with respect to humanity are extremely crude and hateful. We have an Italian man who's been the spokesman for the plandemic for the last 2 years, who's a great semblance of Joseph Mengele in his philosophical love of people. And he's certainly one of many. Now, I'm not here to tell that story right now, but I mention that because Vladimir Putin has been pointedly discussing that he's attacking Ukraine to root out the Nazis. If you see that quoted in the Western media, they certainly won't give it any context, and they're not going to explain what he's trying to say, because their overlords are the same people that Vladimir Putin is referencing. The global conspiracy is led by George Soros, an admitted Nazi, Klaus Schwab, and others who are very close and have close familial ties and lineage in the Nazi legacy that was part of World War II. So this attack, he is saying, is a glance at the globalists by saying it's against the Nazis. Now, can we believe everything he says? Can we even believe that report? I don't think we can believe anything that's being reported right now. However, I do know there's some things that are consistent with things that would make sense, and that's the backgrounds of the people who run this globalist conspiracy, whether it's the Clintons, the Bushes, and certainly the Obamas and the Bidens, and possibly the Trumps. We're reserving judgment there because he's been used by God to reveal much of this. But the point is, for them, to the extent that their methods and philosophies are being revealed, it is a fight to the death. They've been practicing systematic genocide, partial genocide, basically massacres of humanity in many different ways over a long time. This group of people and their descendants or their progenitors. And the truth is coming out. People are starting to think independently, not rely on the alphabet letter networks to tell them what's going on. And the awareness of this is causing them to have a certain amount of anxiety, I think. But nevertheless, God promised and Jesus promised. God promised in the Old Testament, Jesus promised in the New Testament, all these people who work iniquity, especially the ones who do it in secret, behind the scenes, undercover, their methods will all be revealed. And as they're being revealed, these are all capital offenses that they've been engaging in systematically over a long time. And the courts are compromised as well, the civil courts, and we all know this. We all know that justice is dramatically compromised, whether you're in England or United States or Western Europe or really probably all around the globe. We see true justice, in other words, the truth holding out over preferential treatment and favorite sons. It doesn't happen very often. And it's these people get into these things because they know they're protected from the beginning. And therefore, we have a very jaded justice system, and it needs to be exposed as well. So the plan on some people's parts is to construct something more like a Nuremberg trial system under military law. If these people truly fall under that, just with the evidence that is almost plainly publicly available, they are subject to death sentences by whatever means. So they literally are fighting for their deaths, and not only they're fighting for their deaths individually, but most importantly, they're fighting for the death of this secret anti-human system. Clearly, these people are not believers in God, followers of Jesus in the worshiping sense. They have another that they follow. And in fact, mysticism is a major component of this waywardness. I played the song in the intro again, The Love of God. And based on his very brief prompting and messaging to me, which prompted me to do this recording, I believe we're in very short order, we're going to see that love of God. It's going to feel like the love of God has been removed from the earth. and everyone that's left is going to be the wolves. And the wolves get along fine as long as there are sheep to slaughter. And there will be people who are uncertain where they stand, not believing there's wolves. They'll find out the truth very rapidly, and then they're going to have to decide whether they are a sheep or a wolf. Therefore, seek God, the true God, through Jesus, in prayer and sincerity, or panic and fear, as best you can, whatever way seems to be out there for you. In the end, as is written in Scripture, it's not our physical death, which is most important. It's our eternal spiritual existence, which some people will be called on to give up their lives, as Jesus did. And many martyrs since then, the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of believers in the first few centuries, and the Inquisition 1,000 years ago, led by the Roman Church. Many, many people have had to do that. And we're coming back to a time where God is sending a message. Why am I speaking this way? It's because the message he gave me was asking for a specific message, not to distribute, just for me. Because I'm, after that last recording and other things around me, I'm really going to a place of peace and separation, and letting the burdens fall off my shoulders. And when I got to that place, I have a few moments to meditate, ponder, talk to him in a different frame of mind that I've customarily been, although obviously we all have our different kinds of moments. But I was really just asking him for just a quick encouragement message for me. Instead, he gave me a message that it became clear he wanted me to share. But he did tell me, after I realized that that was the case, this is my last recording for a long while. And so this is not for myself. This is for however he wishes to use it, because I am not telling people I'm doing these recordings. So this is not showing off. It's not for any personal satisfaction other than to do as he asked me to do. And of course, it's always satisfying when the power of God comes through you. You know, if you're a servant, it is edifying, gratifying when that's the case. But you don't force it, and you don't, and you have no desire to. And in this case, he's actually not having me promote it. So to move on, this conflagration that's going on in Ukraine right now was something that the mystic Jews have prophesied. The regular rabbinic Torah Jews have had words from their favorite rabbis over the millennia, really hundreds of years, that the Caucasus in Ukraine would be a point of a flashpoint for the coming of the Messiah. Well, that flashpoint is flashing right now. And while they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, they will soon come to recognize whom they have pierced. And there will be mourning and weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be those who crying out, hating God, knowing God has orchestrated the events, the Almighty God. And I say this with a smile, but not because it's because if your condemnation, if your judgment, if your discipline, if your redirection or repentance is in the hands of Almighty God, it's the best place to put it. It's the only place you want to put it. Because it's Him who can take it and make it something good. So when you're confronted with the calamity of the world, to the world, look to God. It might take supernatural faith at some point or for some of you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you have it when you need it. So this conflagration is another major stepping stone towards the return of Jesus Christ in the sky, seen by all. And the messianic times of the Jews, word he gave me, pertains most particularly to the Jews, but really it's for the world, because while the southern kingdom is, you know, by nomenclature Judah and the Jews primarily, the northern kingdom is greater Israel and the other tribes, and all of them have been scattered throughout the earth. There's a whole lot of people out there that do not realize they have an Israeli or Jewish heritage. God recognizes and He knows. One of the reasons for this giant DNA database collection that's been going on is because they know somewhere in that lineage is the chosen one and the lineage and the line of David. And that line of David will be seated on the throne to rule over the earth and all the miscreants that are wealthy and ruling the world right now. So they want to exterminate it. And there have been many attempts to do so. That's why Jews are hated in the world, is because they carry the line of what in a different philosophy is called the golden child. But it's not the point today, other than to recognize that events are moving forward. All things are being revealed, and people are going to get a chance to know just how misled they have been. I'm not sure myself exactly how this is going to go. I don't think anyone has a full understanding, even with the greatest understanding of Scripture, of what's going to really happen. Because God works in unexpected ways. So I reserve judgment on that regard, but I know we're seeing things. So the Lord gave me a message here. It's out of Isaiah. I won't read very much, but I'll read a little bit here. The specific verse is verse 9, but there's a context for it. So Hosea chapter 1, and this is verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he's talking about Israel and their spiritual unfaithfulness. Even their agreements, their contractual agreement with God. This is not just about a spiritual connection. They have a contractual agreement with God, which they've broken perpetually and continuously. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son, Diblaim. And she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel." This is almost the same word as Israel. because I will soon punish the house of Jehu, or at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. This is the valley of Megiddo, where everyone expects the Battle of Armageddon to come. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. And for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, or tanks, or missiles, or airplanes. But I, the Lord God, will save them. After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. I'm going to keep this short. I could go farther, but you can read the rest of Hosea and even that section to point out a couple of things here. First son is called Jezreel. And Jezreel is a word that means to sow or scatter seed, produce yielding seed, become pregnant. This is as Jesus' first coming in the parable of the sower. Then there's a daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, and it means not loved. Well, they did not love Jesus. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the rulers did not love Jesus. And the woman represents the spiritual condition of the people, but also most particularly the religion. So you have a foreshadowing of Jesus. You have the woman represents Judaism and not loving him by the officials. This is not about the common people. It's about the leadership. And then there's a second come as the second coming of Jesus. The Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. For the moment, this is the Lord's message, Lord God's message. This is the Lord's God message to greater Israel. And by extension, those who have not come into faith in Christ in whatever way was available to them, develop a relationship with God. I'm hearing right now as I'm saying that, their hearts, literally, he just said to me, their hearts are far from me, quoting scripture. So for you whose heart is far from God, whether on the left or the right, he's declaring right now, you are not my people. When I realized this was his declaration, I realized it was him telling me he's getting ready to separate the believers from the unbelievers. He's getting ready to pull the presence of God away from all the earth. And the real religious education will begin. It was not his heart for it to be this way, but it had to be. After the corruption, there was no other alternative. Sooner or later, it's going to come to this. And his heart is broken, but also restored. Because now he's going to be able to come into his Sabbath rest. Jesus and God in the Old Testament, and will not no longer contend with man. Or Jesus, how long will I have to contend with these people? Finally, after thousands of years, the Lord God is saying, I will no longer contend with these people, and they are not my people. Saying, enough. I'm done. And he's going to take, for the most part, his hand off the earth. And even though this is not what I see in the natural, this is the message. He's going to let iniquity work. Iniquity has been working. And his solution is also working. But if you're not in faith, if you're not a believer, if you don't have a relationship with him, you don't have a way to believe that. If you believe everything will be all right for no good reason, you're sadly mistaken. And you're abusing the person of God. If you believe everything will be all right because there is an Almighty God, and you're, even if you have are unclear about Jesus or religion and faith, then the Holy Spirit's still speaking to you and in you. But let time move on. He is declaring right now, without question, that there is liberation in his consciousness for those who are not his people and those that are. I'm going to continue on here just a little bit in Isaiah verse 10. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. They are dispersed all over the earth and intermarried with all other nations, people groups. In that place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. And most importantly, and in perspective of how these things will end up, says the people of Judah and the people of Israel, in other words, the southern and the northern kingdom, will come together. They will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. I'm not going to continue past that because I've done a lot of scripture reading recently and in recordings. You can continue from there. The point is, in spite of him declaring, you're not my people. And yes, this was in the time of Hosea. But this is the type and shadowing of the first and second coming of Christ. Waywardness, the spiritual unfaithfulness, religion of Israel, Judaism. There's sadness here. I'm feeling it, and he has it. There's a time, and this is the time. And so will it be in this exact minute or hour? I do not know. But I know as time has, as events have gone on, and I think the Lord thinks more in terms of events than in our notion of time. But these things have come and they're about to go. Imagine a world without the hand of God restraining the workers of iniquity. Even more so, imagine a world with only wolves. There's wolves and sheep now, mostly sheep. So it's easy for the wolves to get along. We're quickly approaching a time where the wolf pack will have no food. Praise be to the Lord. Father, your mercy and grace just feeds all things. Justice and discipline must come. and above all, a cleansing to restore this creation and the remnant to you. In Jesus' name we give love and thanks. Amen. Share the word, it is finished. And it is finished. It's his word, it's his to say.
happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, happy day.
Good God.
Oh.